You're listening to The Taste Masters, where we delve into the world of craft beer, liquor, and other beverages. All right, guys. Super cool episode today. I am with my dear friend and co-host, Mr. Chad Hopkins. Chad, welcome to the show, brother.
Hi, David.
Long time no see.
Yeah?
How you been, man?
Good.
Your hair is looking fabulous today,
by the way. Your hair is looking fabulous.
Stop. I pay you to say that. Ladies and gentlemen, I pay Chad Hopkins to say these things. But Chad, I have great host guests for you today. I have Utah's only sake people in brewers in Utah. I have Jill and Ty. Jill and Ty, welcome to the show.
What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
What? Okay, let's get. I just want to ask this question. It's probably everyone's mind. Is it sake or sake?
Sake.
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 So how do we? How can we remember that? Do you shame people for saying sake?
No, you know, we don't shame anybody. We're just,
you just keep repeating it back.
Yeah, sake, we're just trying to teach everybody. Politely. You know what? Like, if they're talking about us, we're happy.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But so when someone says sake, we just politely tell them, hey, it's actually sake.
Gotcha. Is it kind of, you kind of roll your eyes just a little bit? Like, hey, can I get some
yet.
Of that sake? You're like, oh, fuck you.
Ask us again in a year.
Yeah. Gotcha. It's like, hey, can I get some tequila? That's probably the same kind of like.
Similar.
That's like bad, right?
Similar.
Bad juju.
Can I get a goze?
Goze. Yeah, that one's tough, though. Yeah. That one's tough.
Yeah, tomato, tomato.
Yeah, that's goza. That's goza. Right? I mean, I'm not sure. Now I'm nervous. I've been saying that one right.
So, guys, a question for you. So, Jill, Ty, I want to get to know you guys personally before we get into sake world, okay? So, Ty, I want to start with you. Ty, tell me who you are, where you're from, what's going on, and bring us to this point, sake.
Sure, yeah. I'm Utah, born and raised, been here all my life, left only briefly a couple times.
Hell yeah.
And live in Salt Lake now. I actually work my day job 9 to 5 at a company called Expert Voice downtown in business intelligence, like studied nerd stuff, physics at school and at the University of Utah. And then, along that path, I've worked in restaurants and I actually worked for Epic Brewing Company and was the opening general manager here, at the now Hopkins site when it was the Annex back in 2013.
There you go, Chad.
I know.
He's your grandpa.
I know. Sorry, I am.
Yeah, you have me to thank for all the bad things that are set up.
A lot
here.
Of fun stories to talk about.
Oh hell yeah, I can't wait.
Absolutely. But yeah, and actually got into sake when I was working at Yukiyama. Our third partner who's not here tonight is Kirk Terashima. He's the executive chef and part owner up at Yukiyama on Main Street in Park City. And I went and worked up there with him for 7 years or so, and just sort of fell in love with sake. They have a fantastic sake list, one of the best in the state, in my opinion. And actually, I was on a plane reading the American Airlines, in-flight magazine, and read an article about Arizona for sake. And this guy, as far as I know, and Jill can maybe fill in the gaps on my story here, but this guy was relocated from Japan to Arizona because of a big-time job his wife got in Arizona. So he moved out and he started brewing sake in his own garage, sort of. And then he started making really, really good sake, started winning awards for sake brewed outside of Japan. And this article that I read in the American Airlines, in-flight magazine, talked about how the dry climate of northern Arizona was like perfect for brewing sake. So immediately, I already had this love for sake, and I'm like, holy cow. Like, I guess I can say shit, right? Holy shit. Northern Arizona, Salt Lake City, very similar climates, this dry, sort of hot and cold desert climate.
Desert.
Yeah, exactly. So it just sort of made sense. So started looking into it, reached out to my friend Kirk, and we started sort of planning what has now eventually become Suki Sake.
Suki Sake. Yeah, I love that name, by the way.
Yeah, thanks.
It's really cool. Okay, yeah, so there you go. I like that.
Yeah.
And that's these are your mountains then, or mountains, right? Mountains.
No, I actually say the T.
You say the T.
As a Utah native, I somehow
really
say the T.
Mountains.
Yeah. I'm a mountain person, not a mountain person.
Up the crack, is that what I say, crack? So Jill, it brings it to you. So who's Jill? Tell the people, who's Jill?
All right, you guys ready? I'm just kidding. I'm a half Japanese Salt Lake City local. I moved here from California when I was like 8 years old. And I guess maybe it was my ancestors or my heritage just kind of channeling out of me. But the first time I tasted a Junmai Daiginjo, it was Haketsuru. It just like opened up this whole world and I just had to know everything about it. I passed the sake advisor course in 2015 with the Sake School of America, and it just kind of bloomed from there. So I've been working in Japanese cuisine for over a decade, casual and fine dining. And I guess we just wanted to make lemonade out of lemons last year. And I got in contact with Kirk and Ty. I'd heard that they were kind of scoping out the sake scene. And initially, I saw them as competition. I was like, I'm going to beat them to
fuck
it.
Fuck these guys.
Yeah. But, you know, 2020 kind of pushed us together, and I think it was all for the best.
That's really
so
cool.
Yeah. I just reached out to them, and I had some contacts with Colorado Sake Company. And, yeah, here we are. Suki Sake.
Yeah. We had no idea. So Kirk and I had been talking about it for a while, and, like, it started to feel like it was just going to be talking. You know, like, we, like, weren't sure how to move forward. We actually hired Rio Connolly right after he had left.
Oh, that's good, dude.
Yeah. We hired him to do some consulting work for us and help us put together sort of like a list of what we needed to, because Kirk and I don't know how to brew sake. That's Jill's world. And so we had hired Rio to sort of put together a list of what we need to build out a brewery. After he had started his consulting company, and now he's working on some cider, as far as I know,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, secret cider bombs
coming up.
And anyway,
he was the mutual contact.
Yeah, right. So it's like 2 weeks after we hired Rio.
Yeah, like I hung out with him at a party, and I was just like, "Hey, man, like I know you know proper and everything, and what advice do you have, or do you know anything about sake? Like, how can I get this thing going?" And he's like, "That's so weird that you're asking me this right now, because I'm working with two guys to get a sake brewery up and going."
I can't believe that.
Yeah, and so
it was so crazy. Yeah, it was awesome. So crazy.
I don't know how many months later was it that I reached out. It was probably 6 months later.
Yeah, yeah.
I decided I'm just gonna cold call Kirk. I cold called Kirk at Yukiyama, and I was just like, "Hello, I'm Jillian Watanabe, and I want to open a sake brewery." And they were just like, "Who?" And I was like, anyway, one thing led to another, and
Kirk tells a funny story about that. So like Jill got him on the phone because he has a good friend, Troy Watanabe, and he thought it was like a relative of Troy's. So otherwise he's like, otherwise he wouldn't have taken the call. But he like ended up talking to Jill for a while. And then he called me right after.
I remember leaning on my last name a little bit. He's not going to answer for Watanabe.
Well played. That's a good strong card right there.
Yeah. So yeah, we were, and Kirk called me. He's like, "Oh, hey, so this girl just called me. I think it's like the missing piece to our puzzle so we can actually do this thing."
That's really cool.
And that was like April of 2020.
Yeah.
About?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. So
after the shitstorm of COVID kind of rocked everyone's world.
Like stuck at home, trying to figure out what to do with themselves.
I have plenty of time to start this now.
That's what I'm saying. You guys, instead of sitting there collecting unemployment and sitting on your asses, you decided to take action and follow your dreams. And I'm like, I haven't even got to know you guys better, but like, I'm good for you guys. That's cool that you guys just put your head down and went for it.
Thanks,
man.
That's
really cool. Really cool. So where's the name come from?
My wife actually named it.
And
we were trying to come up with a name, you know, Salt Lake City Sake. That's kind of a given. But we wanted it to have a cool story. And she came home one day and she's just like, "I got it." And I was like, "What?" She's like, "Suki." I was like, "What is that?" She's like, "It means moon in Japanese." And I was like, "Okay, we're onto something." And not to mention you want a Japanese word that Salt Lakers can pronounce.
Right, and we wanted something that people could say and remember.
So I researched it, and the more I read into it, I was like, this is like a symbol of femininity and like womanhood and like girl power, and not only being, you know, an LGBTQIA-owned business, but also just like a female-owned business, you know. I just really wanted to kind of send that message along with our product, and yeah, here we are.
That's really cool. That's in a nutshell. So what was your first product you guys released?
These two right here. So the Junmai Daiginjo, which we're going to name Supermoon in our next run, and the White Peach Nigori, which will be our Harvest Moon.
Oh, my God. We got to try this. Chad.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Let's do this.
I mean, I'll admit we did a little tasting for my bartenders.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
We've been tasting already.
So what do we say when we cheers? Amazing.
Kanpai.
Kanpai. I love this.
Another fun thing for those listeners out there, you've probably always shot your sake before. I've poured out sake for friends since Suki's released and watched them take a shot, and then I'll like wait, and then I'll pour them more, and I'll say, okay, now taste it. So you want to drink it more like a white wine. You want to smell it. You want to enjoy it. It's not meant to be shot back.
Right, which is, I think, a common, like, people misconception. And people are like, oh, I got to shoot this, right?
Well, I think one reason why they do that, too, is because they think it's distilled. It's actually brewed like beer, and it's served like wine. Ooh. So I think that people think that it's like vodka or tequila, but it's actually more of like a wine.
I think it totally is. And does it get taxed like a beer or wine?
In Utah, it does get taxed like wine.
A wine. So that
means you can have it on tap.
We're classified as a wine, but you can have it on draft.
That's the loophole. Hey, suck on that, DABC. Jesus. So then if it drinks like a wine, made like a beer, so then that technically you're a brewer, Jill.
Yes.
So is that what your title is? Is brewer?
I would say brewer apprentice, because there's still a lot to learn.
I mean, you're always... Chad, you're a brewer, and you're still learning to this day.
Oh, you're always learning.
Yeah.
You never know humble. Everything I like that. About it.
Yeah, I'm a humble brewer apprentice.
You are the head brewer then, right?
Yes.
Can I say that?
Yeah.
So, Ty, what's your role in the company?
So, my role, I sort of run operations. We haven't really – I don't have a title, per se. I've been calling myself co-founder, but I just sort of fill in where I can. I help with operations. I help with – I run the books, all that sort of stuff.
We soundboard off of each other. Yeah. We're each other's wingmen.
Yeah.
Right. I like that. Yeah. So let's get – I want to know how you make this. So if you're brewing like a beer, mm-hmm. So Jill, take us through the process of making sake.
So it's basically in Japanese, it's called Sandan Jikomi, which is a three-step, four-day process. And you're basically only using water, rice, yeast, and koji. Koji is sake rice that has been inoculated with yellow koji, which is also used in soy sauce and miso.
Ooh.
So without yellow koji, we wouldn't have sake, soy sauce, or miso. So,
oh, so it's very
thank
important.
God for right? yellow koji, in my opinion. And now you basically start with the first edition, and you get you pitch enough yeast, you make sure the sugars and the yeast are happy, because what you're doing that makes sake unique to any other fermented beverage is multiple parallel fermentation, where the glucose is being turned into alcohol in the same tank instead of two separate tanks. So the yeast is turning the koji rice into alcohol at the same time the koji is turning the rice into sugar. And so it's the highest fermented beverage. It can go all the way up to 21-22%. And in Japan, it has to be pressed as well. And those have to be the only ingredients when you're brewing.
Is it like a true sake from those ingredients? Mm-hmm. Like if it's, it can't be, is it ever made differently in Japan?
Uh-huh. There's other brewing methods. There's Kimoto method where you liquefy it. There's Yamahai method that's like where you mash all of it up together. And then... I wouldn't know if you could call this Honjozo, but where you add brewer's alcohol to it, that basically brings out the aroma more and you have more control over the flavor. But ours are Junmai, and that takes a little bit more craftsmanship, because you just start with what you have and you end with what you have. So it just takes a lot of love and TLC and brains.
Love and TLC, I like that.
Yeah. I mean, as like when I homebrewed, like I wanted to know all about like fermentation. Like I wanted like I brewed beer for a while. I started doing wine, and sake was the one thing I really wanted to learn that I never got into, never had a chance to try it. But from what I learned about it, it's kind of like beer. It's kind of like wine. Like you can age it on the lees like you do on with a wine if you want to get some like certain flavors out of it. Or I don't know. It's really fascinating to me, and I would love to learn more about this for sure.
It's totally unique. It's really versatile as well. It's kind of like beer and wine put together in a sense. In that it's brewed like beer, but it ferments all the way to higher ABVs like wine. I love it. You can serve it at different temperatures. You can mix it into cocktails. It's great with infusions. People are, of course, playing around with dry hopping already with sake.
Oh, you can fuck you with that for sure.
Oh, yeah.
So then you like your guys, preferring it served cold?
Yes.
Both of our products are served chilled. Yes.
And why is the chilled versus like warm, hot?
Well, typically warm sake, I don't want to say that it's lower quality because you can serve a premium sake at a higher temperature. It just depends on your preferences. So if you want more of the aroma to come out, you would heat it up a little bit more, and that just makes the aromas bloom. The only thing you need to be careful with is that it brings out the alcohol flavor a lot more too. So if you have a high ABV, you know, sake and you heat it up, you can smell it more, but it might like burn a bit. You know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. So, those like hot sakes have like, kind of like a booziness to them.
Yeah. Yep.
That makes sense now.
The missus and I had a warm sake, if you will, and it was actually warm tequila in Mexico.
Oh,
they told us it was sake, and I've heard of that.
Yeah. Yeah, someone told me that happened to them too.
Thought I was gonna die.
They were like, the worst sake I ever got was in Mexico. It tasted like tequila. It was like, it was probably tequila.
For real, she hates sake. She's like, that's her. Oh, but then we went to the brewstillery. She met you guys, and she's like, oh my God, you're never gonna believe I like sake now. And I'm like, what?
How did this happen?
Record scratcher. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, what happened? Did you get hit with a brick?
Yeah.
And so she's like, these guys are in, oh my God. And she loved the peach one, obviously. And like, I think you called the peach one. Not to take away from it, but it's kind of like a beginner's sake, right?
Yeah, we wanted to make it, you know, more approachable, not something that's like, oh, like, and a lot of people, their first experience was hot sake, and so they're just kind of like, oh, I don't like sake because of that experience, to which I always rebuttal, well, did you like your first beer? Because mine was Miller Lite, and I still came back for more, you know? Boom. So, but yeah, both of ours are served chilled because they have such nice aroma. You don't really need to elevate that with a higher temperature. And both are meant to be enjoyed typically in a wine glass, so you can enjoy that aroma, but the peach you can do in a carafe and a small sake cup.
That's really cool, guys.
Yeah.
So as
sorry, I just want to like add to that, like growing up here in Utah, I feel like we're kind of like kept from like
the world. Certain,
yeah, pretty much. And like growing up, my dad always drank hot sake, you know, like anytime we go to a Japanese restaurant, look at the hot sake. Yeah. And like, I didn't even know that like cold sake even existed until maybe like 12 years ago. I don't know if you guys remember Plum Alley.
Oh yeah, I love that place.
It's where
so much. That place is another place that kind of changed my whole view on food and wine because I had ramen there for the first time.
Copper Onion, those guys.
It's where Copper Common is.
I'm still mad at them.
Yeah. Good thing they make such good old fashions, I guess.
I mean, Copper Common's dope, but
yeah.
Plum Alley needs to come back. But that was probably my first time trying a cold sake, and I think it was like a cloudy one. It was unfiltered, and I was like, "Whoa, cold sake is like, it's a thing." Like, just open my world to different foods and different sake. So, so it's cool to see like you guys coming together like somewhat organically and locally, and like bringing sake to Utah.
Hell
like,
yeah!
Yeah, we had a similar. It sounds like we had a similar trajectory to sake that you had. It's like first time you have that glass of cold sake, because you know, I mean, I definitely have dropped some cups of hot sake into some Kirin Ichiban. And,
100%.
You know what I mean? I definitely did that a lot before I had my first cup of cold sake.
Like, oh, these guys are loud.
and yeah, it's like that first cup of cold sake. You're like, wow, this is so different. Yeah. It's so good. Yeah.
Of all the sake courses that I've taken, everyone will agree. Like every sake enthusiast will agree that one sip can change your life. You know, and it's true. I mean, it happened to me. It happened to you.
Yeah.
Like, we're all here because of that one sip that we had. And we were just like, what is this? You know?
Right.
Yeah.
This is fascinating to me. This is so fascinating to me. Like, I'm blown away. Like, I feel like there's cool artists here in Utah. And the fact that you guys are local, both local, and then Jill, you're half Japanese. It's like, you can say you're a female brewer, local brewer, half like native, like a Japanese brewer. Like, it's all 3-in-1, like
an LGBT baby,
and 4-in-1. Like, we all have these different hats. Yeah. It's here in Utah. Yeah. We have a great community.
Look at little Salt Lake City.
Tumble it.
Just to tout Kirk too. Kirk's a full Japanese Utah native.
Yeah, oh, Kirk's, hell yeah. Kirk's the shit.
Shout
out. Yeah. So yeah, we're
the next time he's got to come on.
Yeah, for sure.
So then, what's his role in the company?
When we talked about like the length of the podcast at the beginning of this, if Kirk were here, it'd be a 3-hour podcast.
That's
for sure.
I'm okay with that.
But it'd be fun 3 hours.
It'd be rowdy.
Yeah. We have a good time chat, right? You and I.
He's the hype man.
Yeah, he's the hype man.
That's the role.
That's his role in the company. Is the hype man.
He's just so busy right now. They're you know, and this is great. But Yukiyama is just so busy right now up in Park City.
Good.
So there's no real off season in Park City anymore. Summer season is busy.
Yeah,
so,
absolutely.
So yeah, he's working a lot right now.
Is that place on Main Street? Or?
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. 586 Main.
Damn.
Yeah. Nice. Yeah. How long has that place been there?
It rebranded to Yukiyama maybe 6-7 years ago.
Uh-huh.
It was Yuki Arashi before that, but it's been there 15 years, I'd guess.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's a place I used to go to up there called Kempai. I don't know if it's like the same location. It's been a bunch of different spots.
I bet not, but I don't know for sure.
Okay.
Yep. I don't know for sure.
Cool.
I have no idea. I've been Park City like twice. Sorry, my entire
Park
life.
City changes so much up there, so you never know.
Yeah. I know where the Squatters or Wasatch. You don't even know. And the Saloon. I know the Saloon is High West.
Yes.
That's about it. That's my Park City knowledge.
That's all you need to know.
Right? That's I just go there and there.
And Yukiyama now.
I'm going to go there now.
That's your list. You
have to. Oh, yeah. So pairings with the sake. So you guys keep calling it premium. I want to ask that question. Why is it called premium?
So premium is, it basically is just because of the rice polish ratio and the way it's brewed. But to highlight the rice polish ratio, we have a Junmai Daiginjo, and Daiginjo means that it's been polished to 50% of its original size. And what that does is it gets rid of the proteins and the ash and the lipids on the outer layer and gets you closer to the starch in the center. And that is what turns into glucose, and then the yeast turns that into alcohol. Gotcha. So if you get rid of all the other gunk on the outside, you get a cleaner, smoother product. Junmai means pure rice in Japanese. So that basically just means it's water, rice, yeast, and koji. And to what I, just to bring a throwback, if you add brewer's alcohol to sake, then you cannot call it Junmai. So that basically just means that you're in more control of the flavor and you're bringing out the aromas. And those are really awesome sakes. It's just a different label, essentially.
Right, gotcha.
And then the peach is a 60%. So that's a ginjo ratio. So it's 60% remaining.
Remaining,
yeah,
gotcha.
So 40% has been polished off.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Ooh. So I'm also interested in like this, the process of like the polishing. You mentioned earlier when we were chatting with my bartenders that like you used to use like a river to like...
Yeah.
Polish the
polishing rice.
Rice
used to be a bitch. It used to take a long time to do. And not to mention, you know, once you polish it, you have to let it rest for at least 2 weeks so it can readjust to the humidity levels around it before you even start handling it for brewing. So it's a just, you know, labor intensive, time consuming kind of process. But the what really innovated it was the vertical rice polishing machine that was made actually only within the last 100 years. And that sped up the process. I think they can do it within 48 to 72 hours now and polish it all the way to 50% and then have that two week rest period. There's some crazy daiginjos in Japan that are like 77% of a rice polish, like
what?
Where it's only 7% left. It's like $1,000 bottle of sake.
Yeah, I bet it takes forever.
Yeah.
So do you have to like worry about like any like wild bacteria or anything kind of like taking over those starches?
That's really huge, important. Like, I mean, in Japan, they'll have like hair nets and like shoe slipper, like covers and everything. And they're just like
Looks
super
like they're working at Willy Wonka.
Exactly. Yeah.
Oh, Balloon so.
But like, what if like one of those bacterias took over? Like, one of those, is it any good?
It's
like,
no bueno.
Like in beer, it's kind of like it can sometimes be really bad. Sometimes it could be really good.
Yeah.
Like you could fuck shit up and it would be amazing. But you know, so it's I'm interested to know like sake. Do you need to keep like super sanitary?
Yeah, super sanitary.
It's open fermented too.
Oh,
yeah.
That's wild.
It's open tank. Yeah. But you still need to make sure it's if.
Yeah.
If there, a little bit of bad gets in there, it's you could lose your whole mash.
Is there a reason that they do it for the open ferment? Is that just like for yeast health?
The CO2 and because it's multiple parallel. There's a lot of gas coming out of that bad boy. It would if you put a lid on it, it'd probably pop off.
It's interesting. Most people have probably been on it like that would be listening and like yourselves have been on a like a beer tour before and like you've got like glycol line tanks in there that like keep your fermenting beer at the proper temperature. But because it's open fermented sake, the whole brewery has to be kept at the right temperature.
Oh shit.
So like you have your tanks inside a cold, like inside a walk-in.
So what's an ideal ferment for a sake?
It gets lower after every addition. So you start with like, it's like 50 degrees and then you bring it down over the course of the brew, depending on like where it's fermenting. But yeah, temperature is key. And it fluctuates too, because when you do koji, when you inoculate rice with koji, you have to like, you sprinkle the koji spores over it in a room that's like 80, 90% humidity, 90 degrees and higher. And just like mashing it, you know, just getting your hands in it and like with cooked rice, and you have to just baby it for 24 hours or so. It takes about two or three days to make. And then when it comes to brewing, you're in like a cold room. to keep the temperature where it needs to be.
Damn, you guys, right, awesome.
The koji room is its own room, separate from the...
So they're two separate rooms.
Just fascinating how, like, each...
And the whole brewing process, too, is it's really unique, too, because you start with your rice, right, that's been polished, and you have to wash it first, because there's lots of, like, bran, rice flour, and everything. You wash it, then you soak it, and all you're doing is letting the water absorb the... And it's... You have to get it just right. If you let it absorb too much, your rice is going to be mushy, and then you can't handle it with, like, koji. And then you let it, like, sit and rest for a little bit, and then the next day you steam it, and then let that cool, and then add it to your mash once it's cooled. Because you don't want to add hot rice to a cold mash, because that will, like, totally mess with the temperature.
Holy smokes. No wonder you guys love sake. Like,
that's
just, like,
crazy. Like, it's so different. Like,
yeah. Oh, my God.
It's really interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, obviously, I think it
is. I would love to see that whole, that whole process. I'd love to, like, try that out. And, like,
I know, right? Oh, it was really cool, like, finally being able to do it. Like, going out to Colorado and getting my hands in some rice, as, like, just kept saying over and over, I was like, I can't wait to just get my hands in some rice, and, like, holding Yamadanashiki rice 50% for the first time, just like, nice to meet you finally, you know, just totally fangirling and, like, geeking out. But, yeah, finally being able to do the brewing process was, like, so amazing, because I've been reading about it for so long.
You guys have been talking about how you keep mentioning Colorado, so you guys don't make this here, correct?
Not yet.
Not yet.
Yeah, we will eventually. You know, being that we started during, you know, a global pandemic where storefronts were shuttered and all that, it didn't make a ton of sense for us to invest in the a brick and mortar infrastructure, especially after Jill had made this connection with Colorado Sake Company. They're located, they have a tap room in the Rhino District in Denver.
Oh, hell yeah. I was just like,
nice. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Rhino District is dope. I'll
be there soon.
God damn you, Chad.
You blew it.
God damn it.
Guess you're going with Chad this weekend.
Saturday.
But yeah, so we, so Jill connected us with them, and they agreed to not only, like, help Jill hone her craft. So Jill goes out and, you know, like she says, gets her hand in the rice and is the brewer. But they also, you know, let us use their excess capacity. It was sort of like a nice thing for them and for us. Like, they were able to use up some of their excess brew capacity while we were able to launch during a pandemic without having to jump through all the hoops that it takes to open a brewery here in Utah, which is not a simple process. And and you know, invest all the money that it takes to do that. So we, we're going to continue. There's not a, no exact timeline on when we will be brewing in Utah. The goal is to be brewing in Utah. Right now we're focused on Utah. We're only distributing to Utah. And you know, we want to make Salt Lake City specifically, in Utah and Salt Lake Valley, like, love sake first.
Please.
Yeah.
Keep it going.
And then, you know, and we hope to find a good spot, to call home here locally.
That's really cool. Why Salt Lake?
It's home.
Yep. Yeah. and also the climate. You know, we have the
climate
cool
is ideal. Yeah. Because
I mean, traditionally,
Denver has a similar. So, like, Denver has a similar benefit to being high and dry, just like we are.
Yeah.
The water is, like, a huge historical element to sake brewing too. So, like, the fact that we have hard water.
That,
we
can, those we minerals.
Can
yield,
yeah, we have the minerals and whatnot, so we could brew, like, you know, a really nice dry sake if we wanted. But traditionally, I mean, it was fishermen fishing in the summer and then working in the sake brewery in the winter, you know.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so the fact that we have cold winters here is just kind of, you know, it's kind of the traditional way that it's been brewed all throughout history. So,
and like I was talking about, you know, you had to have a cold room, and sake is very old. Like, Jill could probably tell us how old. I'm not exactly sure.
Well, they said that wine was actually the first, and that was like 540 AD. But then it wasn't until like about 713 AD they did it's so gross, Kuchikami sake. That was before they had the mold. I know, even the name is gross. They didn't have the mold. The mold came from China. And so they used to just chew rice chew up it. In their mouths yeah. and spit it out. And
it's
that like would like start.
Oh, yeah. There's some like this. Yeah. South American yeah. somewhere yeah. that do something like that. Do the mash yeah. in your mouth with those enzymes.
But yeah, so it's ancient and it needs to be brewed in a cold room, open fermented, so it could only be brewed in the winter.
Makes sense.
So yeah, so they would brew in the winter, small batch. Like Jill said, and then they'd fish in the summer, and that's what you do.
Which
yeah.
even that took them a while, you know, well, yeah. to really isolate that. That's why they sure. were cranking out like sure. premium product. So
this is blowing my mind. I'm just, that's awesome. Awe. This is really cool.
I mean, it's amazing. Like watching, like I mean, we've all grown up here in Salt Lake, Utah, just kind of seeing what it's doing now. Like breweries popping up, distilleries, and then. Now we have sake. Like Rachel's thought? The one that yes. like that told me about you guys. She's like, "There's sake
Love
coming."
Rachel.
She's amazing. Yeah, like, and she's so passionate about it too. And she got me all excited. Like sake coming to Salt Lake City, like locally, like that's amazing. So
well,
thank you guys.
Yeah, totally.
So much.
Well,
for
thank
doing
you for
this.
Your support and like yeah for inviting us on this podcast.
Of course, anytime yeah. you guys can come on, anytime we can do
we're
an episode next week.
Yeah, we're happy to talk about it. Obviously, yeah.
Oh yeah, I mean, we're enjoying the peach.
Oh right yeah, now. So you guys poured the white peach. So tell us the secret about this one. What's so special about the white peach?
So the white peach is brewed with peach puree. So no fake peach flavors here.
No extract.
Nope, no extracts, and it's a nigori, which means it's unfiltered. So we let some of the sake lees through, which gives it just a little bit of a sweeter rice on the palate. And it's great on its own. It's great in a cocktail. It goes well with Thai basil, anything spicy. I love it with drunken noodles because it's spicy Thai basil noodles.
Ooh, yeah, yeah.
And then charcuterie, anything with blackberries, pistachios.
Ooh, pistachios.
Brunch, I mean, sake mosas with the white peach. You could do a white wine spritzer and eat your eggs benny with that.
I'm going camping this weekend and definitely having some.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
Nice. Well, sure. Just upstairs we were training our bartenders on, you know, giving them some tasters and talking about it. And my bar manager Stan, he made a cocktail with us using the Hammerspring habanero vodka.
Yeah,
I forget what else he put in here.
It was good. Agave, grapefruit. Yeah.
Oh, he put citrus in it, huh?
It was fantastic.
He was held on the citrus.
Oh yeah, no, it was
good.
It was
so how
spicy,
was? Have you guys had the
delicious.
Hammerspring habanero vodka by itself?
No, I haven't.
So I don't think I would want to.
It puts well. It's good.
It's hot in the cocktail.
It's hot.
It's a potato based vodka.
Oh, cool.
And what JP's doing at Hammerspring, I think it's fantastic.
Nice.
And Chad and I found out how he made it, and we're blown away. It was kind of like a fuck up in a way, but then he fixed it.
That's awesome.
And upscaled it. And now it's like
love
great.
That.
Oh yeah,
great.
I bought a case awesome. Of it. I'm like, yeah. We can do some cool
and
shit
it's
with
the
this.
Best like kind of floater. It kind of like helps. Bring out the
Give
flavors.
Some
but
love to it.
I was telling Chad,
be awesome in a market.
I think spicy. Like you kept saying, pairing with spicy, Jill. Like, and I feel like that habanero in here with that potato-based vodka, like a pop.
Yeah.
Potato and rice come together. I wish I would try it. We gotta go upstairs and make another
starch
one.
Starch is starch.
I like it. Who doesn't like starches?
Yeah.
Come on now.
Exactly.
But so going off what Chad said, spicy. Are we thinking the new flavors? Is there new flavored sakes coming
Ooh.
Out? Are we thinking about like a blackberry, a boysenberry, a raspberry?
Yeah,
oh yeah,
try
it. Mean, it's on the drawing board.
Yeah,
for
yeah
sure.
We're actually working on like a second line. So these are our premium sakes. These are I anticipate some more flavors in the Nigori region, similar to this white peach. None of that in the works yet. We anticipate even potentially becoming more premium from our Junmai Daiginjo with a higher polish ratio and testing out some of that stuff.
Higher polish.
Yeah, doing some really cool, you know, black label air quotes.
Nice.
I did air quotes for those watching on YouTube. So that sort of stuff. But then right now, our next adventure is we're gonna go into cans. So we have
Woo.
Some the same size as like your standard Red Bull can. It's like the 8.4 ounce can. So we're gonna go into that, and it's gonna be sparkling.
Nice. Oh yeah.
So
yes.
we're gonna have a sparkling Junmai.
I've never
as one
had
of
a
our
sparkling
flavors.
Sake.
That's the only one that we're really
so
solid on.
Okay.
So we're gonna have a sparkling Junmai.
That's the only guaranteed.
That's
one
the only
for
one
now.
We know for
yeah.
sure.
We're still on the drawing board.
We're still playing with flavors for the other ones, but we'll have some fruit flavors.
Some heated flavors.
Yeah, you know what? It's interesting. So
maybe
one of Kirk's favorite flavors that they do out at Colorado Sake Co. Which Chad, you got to go check it out.
Yeah,
you have to know.
I'll be there this weekend.
Yeah. So one of Kirk's favorite flavors is the spicy one. And
the
I forget
Green
the name
Machine.
Of it. Is that the spicy one? Uh-huh. Oh, yeah. So you could probably talk more about it than I can.
I forget the exact blend. It's just like habanero, jalapeno, cilantro, and I want to say kale, but I don't think that's right.
It's vegetal and herbaceous and spicy, and it's awesome. It's great. It's super, super good. So eventually I see us doing something like that. I don't think that'll make the first go around, but I think it'll show up
down the line.
One of my favorite flavors that I saw them playing with for a local bar, they wanted to use pickle sake for Bloody Marys or something like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, this
sounds fantastic.
Weird.
Sounds fantastic.
It's pretty good.
So for that can line, can it be called Sakan?
So we actually I love that name, but it's going to be called Pocket Sake.
Pocket Sake.
I like that.
Yeah.
Pocket Sake.
Tag it with you.
Yeah, exactly. Think about taking it on the ski hill.
Little pocket sake.
In your backpack when you go hiking.
Man, I thought my sock can was good.
Yeah.
That's a good one, though.
So that is a good one.
Yeah, we're pocket sake coming up.
Maybe I'll name mine that.
That's okay. I'm okay with that. I like that. Yeah. Well, guys, real quick, we're going to take a break real quick. I got a little bathroom break and a restocking break. But until we come back, all right, guys?
Taste Masters is brought to you by Hopkins Brewing Company. By using the code TASTEMASTERS, you will receive 10% off your ticket upon checking out. Food only. But, guys, it's badass food. They have chicken sandwiches, Thai wings, poutine. They have brunch every Saturday, Sunday. The food is fantastic. One of the best in town. Again, use the code TASTEMASTERS upon checking out. 10% off your entire ticket, minus the alcohol. Guys, let's keep it local by supporting local. This episode's also brought to you by you, if you wanted to be. We are looking for sponsors and would love to have you as part of our team. Feel free to email us for details at thetastemastersdrink@gmail.com or DM us through all social media platforms. Hey guys, it's David here. We are starting a Patreon, which is kind of like a tip jar, but digital. Basically what it does is it helps enhance the content of our podcast. You like what you hear? Want to help us out? Go ahead and head to www.patreon.com/tastemasters and subscribe. Anything will help.
Okay, so I have a question for you, Jill, going off that. This is gluten-free, vegan, you said sulfite-free, correct?
Uh-huh.
Now, what else? This is everyone's dream right here, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's a huge selling point for sure. It's gluten-free. A lot of people don't know that rice is gluten-free. Understandably, I mean, it's a grain. But yeah, it's a gluten-free product. I love the peach. You can mix it into cocktails like that entire cocktail we just talked about with the potato vodka. That's all gluten-free. So that would be an awesome pairing for that. If you're looking for another gluten-free option besides cider or O'Doul's.
God.
O'Doul's.
Oh, wait, no. O'Doul's is no alcohol. Alcohol there, right? Yeah, that's alcohol-free. But anyway, yeah.
I mean, so will this be under the wine category,
seltzer.
The beer category, cider category when you go to a restaurant? What category would you put under?
I mean, it's under sake category, really. But you know, if you go to a restaurant like here at Hopkins, you know, like they'll be the first non-traditional like Japanese restaurant to carry suki sake here locally.
Oh, really?
We're super excited about it. And that's what we want to like. Push. We want to teach people that sake isn't just something you shoot hot to get drunk at a sushi bar. You know, it's like actually really good and it's really great with food.
It doesn't fight with food. It complements it. It's not overpowering. You know, the list is endless. Everyone thinks of, you know, sushi as the best pairing with it, but I drink sake at almost any meal. You know what I mean? And it pairs awesome with it because it just doesn't, it's not overpowering. It's nice and delicate.
That's
and it blows your hair back.
But cider, cider's the same way. You can pair it with like almost anything, right? Yeah. I mean, but as long as the apple's still there, if you don't like apple, you're fucked. But I mean, sake, I feel like, I mean, tasting these two, I'm like, I'd have a steak.
Very unique.
And
the way like the peach, this white peach and this one, like it just pairs so nice with the sake flavors. Like, and then like craft sake, I mean, I'm sure you guys consider yourself craft sake. Like, I've heard of there's like a newer sake producer in California somewhere that's doing some weird shit. Like we do with beer, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
Just doing some like weird stuff, kind of like not traditional. And it's so awesome to see that. I'm excited to like see what you guys come up with. Because it's like, I feel like that's kind of like an untapped thing is sake. Like, you know,
in general, I think.
Yeah, because well, I mean, we get, strict, oh, you get filtered, unfiltered.
There's strict these sake laws like in Japan, but there are not strict sake laws in America.
It's like the Reinheitsgebot of beer, you know? Like,
but it's definitely you want to tip your hat to the traditional aspects of sake and understand the craft before playing around, which is kind of the 100%. Stage that we're at, I would
you're
say.
You're honing it in, so you can, then you
gotta
can go
be able to exactly. start playing. It's like a nice respectful bow,
if you will, first before we're like, let's dry hop this.
If a brewery, like Chad and I will go to a brewery to try their Pilsner, and that will determine.
You gotta make a nice Pilsner and be able to understand the Pilsner.
And like, you get how to make a pure, because a Pilsner, if it's like one-off thing, you're like, oh, I got it. Like you. Like that. Yep. Mm-hmm. So I feel like you guys are the same category. But I guess Chad and I are ahead of the game. We're like, okay, come on with spicy sake. Come out with fruited sake. Come on with barrel-aged sake.
And we will. Yes. Don't you worry, we will.
I mean, we will.
Oh, my God. Can you guys just go now? Sure, but,
we're just going to time warp to a year or two from now.
But I'm excited to see what you guys would do with different flavors, different styles, and you'll fuck with it a little bit and just change the recipes. But I'm really – the question I want to know is you guys say Japanese yeast on the bottle. So, Jill, what is Japanese yeast? Like, what Japanese yeast?
Well, Colorado Sake Company, they sourced, I mean, it's hard to get Japanese yeast because it's been, you know, cultivated over and over and over, troubleshooting, you know, in these sake breweries. So it's difficult to get a hold of because, you know, that's a lot of blood, sweat, and tears put into something to get a premium item. But Colorado Sake Company has some. They do 01 blends. Those are just non-foaming yeasts because they used to foam so much. They even have different Japanese names for how much foam would come off the top of the sake, depending on the day or what it looked like. But these 01 yeasts make it so that they don't foam as much because you would have had to have like three times the tank space just for the foaming part, which doesn't make sense, right? No. It's not economical. It's
similar
at all.
To like a Croizen on a beer. Like.
Yeah. So yeah, it's a Japanese ginjo yeast, which is basically what we're using, which are just premium aromatic. That's why I always suggest for the Junmai Dai Ginjo to enjoy that in a wine glass because of the beautiful aromas on that. We call that fruit salad on the nose.
Oh, I like that. Because you do get like kind of like a fruitiness to it. When you heat it up, what kind of nose would you get on that?
So it just blooms more. You can get more ricey notes once it's heated up. I always think it's funny to say the word ricey for sake because it's like that's beer. All that it's made beery. Of. That beer tastes grainy. Beery. Yeah, this beer is grainy, but yeah, more of like cooked rice, you will, like cooked rice aromatics on the nose. But yeah,
so I just made a faux pas like with sake, especially when drinking with friends. Like you should pour it out for each other.
Oh,
not pour your own. That's.
That was my fault. I should have poured that for you.
It's okay. Yeah.
But Ty's more patient than I am, so I usually just pour my own.
you know who's real patient is Kirk. Kirk will sit there and like Kirk will have an empty glass for a long time, and he's probably the most committed to the not pour your own sake.
Yeah.
And one thing I will say too is like a asterisk to what I just said. If you're drinking alone, pour your own sake, please.
Yeah.
I absolutely do.
Get a machine to do it for you.
But yeah, Kirk will be sitting there and like, I'll notice his empty glass and he like is kind of nudging me, kind of like, it takes me a while.
Gotcha. So going off of that, you're saying kind of traditions behind the sake, is there like different, is it like a sacred drink? Like what's the tradition? I mean, Jill, maybe, do you know?
Yeah, Jill would
probably answer there's still ceremonial, to this day, a ton of ceremonial practices with sake. It was originally brewed by monks, so you know it's the same as like wine in France, you know, there it's all ceremonious. It's still used at weddings a lot of the time.
You pour yourself, but is it gargling it and like drinking it, is it like shameful, like, you know what I'm saying, like is it
like to
rather sip it versus like
hammer it and get drunk?
I don't think they would like that if you did that, but
like, I feel like if you got someone's, go to a vineyard and got a wine glass and just like threw it back, people are like, what the fuck did you just do? Kind of thing. Right. Slapping the base.
I think that's probably more of like a respect thing.
Yeah.
Like,
gotcha.
Yeah. Like, enjoy it. Like, pay attention. It is art in a bottle, you know, like pay attention to the craft.
Yeah, absolutely.
And enjoy it that way.
Have you guys gone to Japan and like had.
I have not yet been to Japan.
Not yet.
We need Kirk to talk about his Japan trips. Man, Kirk goes out there and skis J-Pow, and I like cringed as I said J-Pow just now, just in case everyone else did. But yeah, he goes out there and skis and eats good food and drinks sake and does all that stuff. And
we might we'll have do one that. Coming up.
Yeah,
right?
We'll do that soon. Yeah, we'll do that soon.
A barrel aged one.
Yeah, we'll go.
Fuck it.
I just want to throw some barrels for some reason. I don't know why.
I like it.
Barrel aged everything.
That's like that oakiness.
I mean, that would be fun just to see what it tastes like.
Joe, when you're ready, try that. Come hit us up.
You guys got some barrels?
Put some in a barrel.
Oh, yeah. Let's do it. Weird. But so how long do you think it will take for you guys to get a facility to start brewing? And how big will it have to be?
Size-wise, I mean, we would love to have a tap room. You know what I mean? So we would, I mean, honestly, like the size of space that you have would be sufficient. We would just not be able to be open like you guys are, down into the brew room, here at Hopkins. So, I mean, what's the space? Like 3,500 square feet?
Yeah.
Something like that.
Right.
Yeah. That's kind of what I assume, we would need. We do want to have a tap room and we have some fun ideas for that too. Jill doesn't like it when I tip people off to this, but I think it's a fun idea to talk about, so I'm going to do it anyway.
It's like a tap room with just sake?
We'll have some beer, too, and that's actually something I want to talk to Chad about also.
I already talked to him about it.
Oh, perfect. Yeah. Yeah, that's Jill's idea, so that's her realm. But, we want to open, the first that we know of, all-American sake tap room. So we want to bring in sake from Austin. We want to bring in sake from Asheville, North Carolina. We want to bring in sake from Nashville, Tennessee.
Arizona.
We want to bring in sake from Arizona. We want to bring in sake from Brooklyn, San Diego. You know, really highlight all of these. There's about, at last count, about 20 American sake breweries. And there's a few. It's about it.
Holy shit.
It's very new.
And so
you got something going.
So we really want to like help grow American sake as a thing, as a brand.
Yeah.
And so that's our hope. We want to have a little tap room and obviously our own brew space, our production space. We have a few ideas about that.
So cool.
Salt Lake needs it. I mean,
I think
people need to know.
Salt Lake could eat it up, honestly.
And that's one thing that I love about this industry, the brewing industry, like spirits, bar, all of it, but especially sake, it's so connecting. Yeah. What's the word? Global. You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
You're connecting globally over a product.
Yeah. And there's a community with beer, especially here in Salt Lake, we've dealt with a lot of shit out here, we're still such a young industry here.
Right.
And there we are, a close group of friends.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like
I say, family is the best thing I can come up
with.
Oh
yeah, family. It's
a family.
Like if you want to be like a brewer in this state, like we're family. Like
right.
That's
if,
how it is.
If you're an asshole, you're out.
And that's cool to see that like going on in the sake world too, and like we're seeing that in the distilling industry as well. Like it's like we don't want to compete against. Nobody wants to compete against each other. We want more.
We want to do well.
You
want
to open a fucking brewery across the street for me? Please do. We would love your friendship and bring more people here.
I think about William Stewart, who's the owner and what former head brewer. Now he has people brewing for him out in Colorado at Colorado Sake Company. And he, I always find myself thinking, I'm like, what is he getting out of this? Like, why is he helping us? And every single time I actually ask him that face to face, he's like, you are helping us grow the brand of American sake.
Dang.
That's passion.
And that's what it is. It's like, we are growing American sake together, and he's we're the Padawan to his Jedi.
We need to have some drinks with him sometime.
Absolutely. Let's all go to Denver together. Together,
I'm
Chad.
Down.
Or Park City.
Or Park City.
I love it.
So going off of that, because I feel like I know friends with cider makers, cider is really hard to sell in Utah because it's drank like craft beer.
Yeah.
It's judged like craft beer, but it's taxed like a wine.
Yep.
So how do you guys see that debate with DABC, putting it in your store? And what part of the DABC will they put it? Especially being local, it's going to be a little bit different because if they have big name brand sakes going against this Tsukai, what I mean? Like they're going to look at me like, what is this?
You're going to tell them about when you went into that. So I'll answer that, but yeah, you got to tell the story.
My friends, they were buying this. It had just hit the shelves at the local liquor store and she's at the register and for some reason it won't scan. And she finally, the cashier was like, hey, she's like, do you have a SKU? for the Jumanji. For the Jumanji sake. Yeah. She must have said sake, yeah, right? Jumanji sake.
Jumanji sake.
My friend was so embarrassed. She's just like,
So funny.
It's not how you say it. Stop yelling Jumanji.
So funny. But
that's amazing.
Yeah, it was so good. But no, we're in the sake section. So there is a sake section, a small sake section.
Small.
In it's like almost
one
all,
shelf, two shelves.
No, maybe? It's like a, you know, it's like a whole. Yeah, it's I guess it's one shelf.
Well, and we should two. Also talk about the fact yeah, that right when bottom, our though, right yeah. when our product oh, yeah, launched, right when we got section. Bottles in Salt Lake, yeah, finally was lucky. Right when all the freight was being held up. So all the shipments shit. From Japan of Japanese yeah. sake had been they're just stuck on a boat somewhere.
Yeah.
And then our sake hit, and then yeah, all so these was, like restaurants so were like, "You have good, sake," you know.
Yeah, I was talking to.
So it was a very serendipitous timing.
Talking to the people out at the DABC. And be like, hey, I have 2,000 bottles yeah. of sake sitting in a warehouse three blocks from you.
Yeah.
And you don't have any sake on your
that
shelves.
That's a big I bet.
So they, yeah, yeah. So they initially had us set as only special order. So you had to buy it by the case. And we sort of anticipated this. So we made our cases six bottles instead of 12 to make it a little bit more approachable.
Nice.
Well played.
Yeah, thank you. And so we did that, and then I'm talking to them. I'm like, well, yeah, we have a bunch of sake, and you have empty shelves. And so they were like, yeah, let's give it a try. So that we're still listed as a limited item, but we're on the shelves in about 20-ish yeah. liquor stores.
Mm-hmm.
And the DABC does great work, honestly. Like, I actually really like working with them, and they're hamstrung by the – I really do like working with the DABC themselves.
That's the first time I've heard this in this podcast.
Let me say
87th episode.
This is a transition. This is a Utah transition.
I don't blame the DABC for the crazy laws they have to live by. And I guess that's what I mean. So it's like it's all handed down from above. But so the DABC has like worked with us and helped us get on shelves and stuff like that. And I think they will list us as general availability the next time that comes up, which is this is a negative side of the DABC. That's like every 6 months or something like that. They don't run like a normal business. I call them five times before I get called back.
Yep.
Whereas if this was like a normal distribution company or a normal liquor store, that wouldn't be the case.
Yes.
So I don't like all you out there who just hung up because you think Sugi Sake is boo. Exactly.
They're pro EBC.
No. Those I guess what I'm saying is they do the best they can with the shitty laws they're
that's
given.
Nice,
Utah's
Dyke.
Growing up.
Yeah.
Nice. We're getting there.
Slowly.
Bear with us.
Hey, we have a refrigerated liquor store now, guys.
I think we have two.
Yeah,
we have a fucking refrigerated liquor store. Yeah.
Two. Where's the second one?
Two.
Yeah,
two?
Is there a second
there's
one?
Saratoga.
So you get what's the other one? Taylorsville. Taylorsville and Saratoga.
Yeah,
so we're getting a new. We're getting a new liquor store here in Sugar House, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah. Is it refrigerated?
Finally.
I am making
Does it
that
have
assumption.
The Jumanji sake.
Jumanji.
We mentioned.
I'm making that assumption and being excited.
We mentioned Plum Alley earlier. I think the new downtown liquor store is going to be in that like empty lot just to the east of where Plum Alley was.
Oh, there's a big spot right
yeah,
there.
And I've seen the renderings of it. It's like it looks really pretty. I assume they're going to shut down the wine store
the fourth, third.
On like third and fourth or whatever.
I mean, if you're
going
to tax it and make like the money off of it that you do, you might as well have like a nice, you know,
Amen.
Storefront,
Amen.
Right?
Preach
I
it.
Mean, if somebody wants
shit.
To get drunk, mm-hmm. you can get
If they
any
give us a refrigerated
spirit.
Spot, we'll bring in Nama for the
right.
first
yeah.
time.
Oh, yeah, we would bring
like,
an unpasteurized
Nama's
sake.
Nama's unpasteurized,
for sure.
like, Ooh. So yeah. sake is better fresh than it is like if it's aged. Like fresh pressed sake, like straight from the press. So delicious, dude. Like, I'm telling you. If Colorado Sake Company is doing a press, you got to go back there and get a little sipski when you go there. But
Colorado Sake,
come with?
No, I mean, it's tasty.
Yeah, it's delicious. Tasty.
I got a recording on Saturday, bud.
Oh, that's sorry, right. Canceled. Yeah, I bailed out on
so
that.
Hard. So DABC, 5-year goal from you guys. Give me a 5-year goal. What's happening in five years?
5-year goal. I think we'd love to have
everything.
Yeah, we want
Brewery.
It all. Money,
tap
fast
room,
cars,
distribution,
diamond rings, gold chains.
Oh, damn, Ty.
Girls.
Wow. No, that's Warren G. For, but we want.
Keep being friends with the DABC, maybe
yeah,
you'll get
exactly,
that.
Yeah, right, exactly. No, I think we'll have, you know, a line of premium sakes that will include like a high-end black label. Like
premium sake
polished,
to enjoy at your favorite sushi restaurant. And then some pocket sake to take up to the ski lift or when you're hiking, in addition to a tap room and a brewery and possibly distributing out of state.
That's really cool. So then you're going to have, you're going to train people, Jill, to be.
Oh, yeah.
So
come at me.
Brewer. Brewer is the correct term? Is there like a certain
There's a brewer? I mean, in Japan, there's Japanese. Toji.
There's toji, and that originates from, actually, women used to brew sake, and then men took over. Beer. So toji actually means like woman, like house helper, something awful like that. But anyway, men took over. But toji, in order to be called one, you have to go through a process and like testing and studying and things like that. So I wouldn't call myself a toji because... I'm not at that level.
Never would really because it's not, you never did it traditionally,
it's
right?
It's probably not in English, you know, yet.
The master brewer thing. I'm a master brewer. Like, you know what I mean?
Sure. But yes, brewer. Brewer is the correct term. Yes.
Brewer. Okay, so then being a brewer, are you part of the Pink Boot Society?
Yes, sir. Yes, I am.
Yes.
PBS, baby.
They just opened that shit up, didn't they? Yes. Like, yeah, they distillers.
And fermentation process.
They're awesome.
That's
they
perfect.
So so the girls at Hans Kombucha making kombucha, it considers fermentation process, and we're trying to get them and the Pink Boots over the hand.
Hans
girls are listening.
She's awesome.
Over
we started selling
Kombucha.
Their kombucha here.
Yeah. Guess Joe's your booch. Who doesn't want to get a good booch, right?
I love booch.
Exactly. That's awesome. So, Joe, how do you say thank you in Japanese?
Arigato.
Oh, duh. We all knew that.
Or arigato gozaimasu.
So arigato for pouring my sake. Appreciate you.
Hey, kanpai, buddy.
Yeah, kanpai.
I think the Jumanji one is my favorite one. I really do. I think that one is, I've been trying to heat it up too. Just get more. It has more of an alcohol bite. Like I put it in my hand trying to warm it up and it has that alcohol bite, but I'm getting more rice out of it, like you were saying, and I kind of like that.
Yeah.
But I'm curious to see what it's like heated up, like maybe
Hot.
Yeah. How hot do you usually get it? Like, what's
I don't know
a good
how hot they serve it? I mean,
like 70 degrees, 90 degrees. Like we're talking.
I bet you it's. I actually have no idea.
80s. It's in the 80s.
So I wonder how. I really want to try like a warm and cold and see how it is side by side kind of thing.
And I definitely recommend with the Junmai Daiginjo, like take it out of your fridge and serve it cold. Mm-hmm. But don't worry about like putting it in a bucket of ice or something like that as you drink it. Right, like
people do that shit with wine. I'm like, stop. Right. Let it warm up.
It's gonna change as you drink it. It's gonna taste. It's gonna taste great
experience
and different all the way through that temperature
it's
range.
A,
I mean,
it's
like
a
I remember
it's
those,
a,
the,
it's a process
the heat,
of like
heating temperature. But when I was doing the sake sommelier course, I was mostly focusing on the lower degrees because we have
that's
the,
what you're honing
that's
in
the
on.
Products
hey,
that
it's fine.
Have, so.
But what
shout
is
out
there,
to Jill. Jill's a sake sommelier, by the way.
So is there a term for that? I was going to ask that. Is there a term for a sommelier?
It's
like a cicerone
called,
for beer,
it's
right?
Called
right.
Mm-hmm. Kiki sake shi. So I just say sake sommelier because that's a little easier.
That was so cool. Say that one more time.
Kiki sake shi.
Kiki sake shi. Wait, no.
Exactly.
Kake.
That's got to be like a label.
Kiki sake shi.
Yeah, I got a little pin. I should have worn it here.
You
wear my little pin.
Oh, that's really
say that
cool.
10 times fast.
That's really cool. I like that a lot. So then going off of that, ask you guys collaborations. I saw you guys made, so one of my favorite distilleries, not to be biased, top three, let's say that, is Holy Stone. I think what they're doing, with Bobby, Mike, and Ethan, that trio, I think it's all about trios, by the way. Trios, I think Grid City has a trio. You guys have a trio. Yeah. Chad secretly has a trio. He just finished his trio. Right, like trios, they just are swinging, they're flexing. I like it. And Holy Stone, they have their shochu, which is also, is it koji as well?
Yeah, they use koji.
Right, so Ethan uses koji. Uh-huh. And then they have their awesome gin that you did with their, I think it was the peach and their Cerulea gin, correct?
Yes, we collaborated with
so
a few of their
liquors. What's doing collaboration cocktails with other distilleries like? Let's start with Holy Stone, and then what other collaborations do you want to look at getting into?
I mean, I would love to just, you know, any distilleries that are interested to, like, see what they would come up with the peach sake.
I think it's some whiskey.
Yeah, I'd love to see some whiskey.
Some whiskey.
Some
I was thinking that for sure.
Let's go.
We were thinking of that one, but we were waiting until the fall because it's, like, peach cobbler. Amazing. Like, because sake is very seasonal, right? Well, all drinks are, but... more of like a seasonal, like peach cobbler with whiskey, bourbon, or something like that.
Man.
Cinnamon.
Wow.
Mm-hmm, that would be awesome. But yeah, any local distillery that wanted to collaborate, I would 1000% be down for sure. But Holy Stone, they are awesome. They were one of the first local businesses to reach out to us. You know, when we started our Instagram page. And Barbie is rad. Rhea's rad. She's the one that came up with all the cocktails. She's like
Dude, she is a master of her crafts.
Oh, yeah. Such good people.
So
I actually just sent that exact post that you're like bringing up with those cocktails to my brother like 2 hours ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, because he was going up. my brother just finished the Speed Goat race up at Snowbird a couple weekends ago. So he hasn't been, it's like some crazy thing that crazy people do.
Oh, cool.
It's like a 30, oh, it's like a 30K,
they're still doing that?
30K with like 9,000 foot elevation gain, whatever. It's like nuts.
Ew.
And he did it in like 3.5 hours. He's a crazy person.
Did you say ew?
Yeah, exactly.
I would drive that in my Prius and get tired. Yeah, like, that's how you would.
I went up there, I like rode the tram and like waved at him.
With oxygen in your Prius, right? And be like, oh,
but anyway, so he actually hasn't tasted Sukisaki yet because he like quit drinking to fully train for this thing.
Good for him. Hey, yeah. Cheers. I mean, good for him, you.
Right? Yeah.
And, I'll drink for you,
and
buddy.
So he just sent me a picture of like a bottle of each. And was like, hey, man, like, I'm really excited to finally taste this. We're going camping this weekend. And he's like, oh, what do I do with it? Like, you know, it's everyone's trying to figure out what to do with sake. Like, he's just like, you know, any person that's new to sake. And I, like, told him with the Junmai Daiginjo.
Chug it warm. It's actually tequila.
With the Junmai Daiginjo, like, drink it cold out of a wine glass. But with the white peach, like, do that. But also you can play with some cocktails and stuff. And so I sent him this post from Holy Stone to like talk about like which, you know, what's he probably went straight to Holy Stone. I'm sure he's going to be hammered all weekend because he doesn't have, he has no tolerance left.
So if you guys do more collaborations with the distilleries, make sure you guys support the Utah Spirit Trail, which is you get a stamp, you get a booklet, all the stamps.
Ooh.
And then at the very end, you get all the distilleries. You guys get a nice, cool glass and a nice sticker at the very end.
Oh, nice.
So Utah Spirit Trail supports all the distilleries. And that's really cool because I feel like the sake and distilleries go hand in hand in a way, right?
Yeah,
and then also, I feel like you guys should have like a sake educational person because you guys are talking about, you're teaching us, right?
Yep.
But I feel like you guys should hire someone else to be like, teach everything sake because you guys are talking about how sake is not really well known. The education is not there. People are like, hey, what do I do with it? You gotta have like classes. When you guys open that brewery, you gotta have like a class.
Sure. I mean, we kind of did that tonight at the hop here.
Right.
Like, we put it on the menu, but kind of like secret menu. I didn't want to blow it up until like my bartenders like really all got to try it and like hear from these guys. So that was fun tonight. Like, we had like Jill came in and talked to everybody and we all tried it.
But you guys are so busy. Like, I feel like
Jill is that person for us right now. But, you know, as a small startup, brand new business, like everyone's got to wear a bunch of hats.
Yeah.
But I think as soon as we're able to do something like that.
So then you guys will just get more places. Go down south, St. George, sake in St. George, up in Ogden.
Right.
I guarantee,
I guess we could do it via Zoom.
Yeah, right? That's true too. Yeah. I think in Utah, you should actually get in Utah. I think they would do really well with sake.
Oh, yeah.
Do where?
Utah. It's a brewery.
U-T-O-G.
In Ogden?
Oh, nice.
It's up there with Roosters
and Talisman. Is it
Utah?
Newish, yeah.
Newish, yeah.
But Utah, Utah, Ogden.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But they're great. They were not, I mean, most breweries do, don't get me wrong, but Utah, they bring in class. They bring in top-shelf clientele.
Sure.
This is, for me, top-shelf, and it's local.
They're blowing shit up there in Ogden.
And
they are
just swinging. The they're flexing. Yeah, Utah. Go to Utah. We'll send you that way. But I wanted to ask this question. Jill, you kind of mentioned this in Koji and Beer. But is there any like sake beer infused beverages out there?
I think that's a new thing people are playing with. I know that
sake bomb.
Yeah,
just kidding. Sorry.
Just mush them together.
Kirin Ichiban and hot sake.
I know that brewers are playing around with Koji. Koji has. I don't know if you've read Noma Guide to Fermentation or just anything on Koji. It's just a completely just amazing fungus that just is. Just responsible
it's
for
mold,
so much
right?
cool shit.
Koji's a mold.
Well, it's like, it's a mold.
Yep.
And the more you learn about it, the more you just are just like, this is the craziest thing. What it does to food and to alcohol and everything is just intense. But I know a lot of brewers are kind of playing around with Koji because it has gotten a lot of attention recently. So anyone who's a nerd and anyone who's, you know, an artist and creative and wants a new toy to play with, should definitely, experiment with it.
Yeah, like I was saying earlier. Yeah, I was reading an article. It's called Sour in an Hour. And they take that Koji, white Koji, And you can drop that pH in a wort in an hour to where you want it to be in a sour beer.
Oh, wow.
Without having to
deal with... Oh, you were telling me about that.
Yeah, without having to worry about any contamination of it, the other things going on in the brewery. So so we've been kind of looking into that. So we might fuck around with that at some point.
Just be careful with it because it gets everywhere. Like I was wearing a mask in the Koji room. We were sprinkling it. And I still came out and my nose is like green. Like just because the mold, it gets everywhere.
Yeah. Still got to worry about it, like a lactobacillus getting around your brewery. Yeah.
Just take care of it. Be smart with it.
Yeah. Cover those vents is all I'm saying.
But Jill, you said you use yellow koji.
Yes.
So what kind of is there? Like all sorts of rainbows koji?
There's yellow, white, and black.
Okay, gotcha.
I always mix up. One is for awamori, which I think is white, which is what you were talking about, and then black is for shochu, which is what Holy Stone Distilling uses for their. Shochu.
Oh my God, shochu in the sake. I'd die. Yeah.
I'm sad. I don't have a bottle right now. You guys have done this,
yes.
God damn you. That sounds amazing right now.
It's great.
Oh my God. But where can people contact you or find you guys? Because you guys have a location. So where do we find?
Not yet. We're Suki. Sukisaki.com. Tsuki. There's a silent T there.
Oh yeah. Tsukai.
Tsukai. Sake.
And on Instagram.
Yeah.
It's Sukisake SLC for Salt Lake City, baby.
Yep. Hell yeah. Oh, yeah. And then
if you wanted to contact us, info@sukisake.com, you get a hold of us that way.
Or you can just email me, Jillian@sukisake.com.
Yep.
Jillian with one N, two N's?
One.
One N, okay. And then
in the recent Salt Lake Tribune article, it was Julianne.
Oh, really? Oh,
yeah,
nice.
I just noticed.
Oh, no. Yeah. That just came out barely, right?
It came out like today.
Congrats, by the way,
welcome
guys.
To my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's your new name.
Yeah. What's my new name is Julian, everyone. Yeah.
Julian Head Brewer. Yeah.
Right.
Okay, last question for you guys I want to ask. How can we help you guys as Chad Hopkins, as brewers, and as taste masters? What else can we do to help Sukisake?
Drink more sake.
Yeah, drink more sake. When you do, Chad, go to Colorado Sake Company.
Yes.
You will see they have a nice LED sign at the back of their spot that says, drink more sake. And William doesn't really know this yet, but like we have all adopted that in our minds.
Yeah.
Like, drink more sake. Like, that's going to be like a big part of our motto as well. Chad, you're already helping by, you know, teaching your staff and putting this on the menu. That's huge for us. You know, we're only in, I would say, maybe like a dozen or less places. You know, you can name them on two hands. And we're working on that. We're a small group. We're trying to sell it in.
We just launched spring. So
yeah, for the
time that we've been on shelves, we're doing. I think
the DABC
great.
Made their first order on May 15th. And they have now ordered all 2,000 bottles that we originally released as of this week. So
yes.
So yeah, we're ramping up.
If you're getting into the sake world, you're just signing up for education and just teaching over and over and over.
That.
But in the same regard, you're never going to stop learning about it. Right. And that's the thing I love about it.
You guys surrender to
that's
that.
Awesome.
Because we keep saying when knowledge increases, behavior changes.
Yeah.
And that just, that's you guys, right. Once you surrender to it, you're just going to learn. Once I surrender to the fact that I don't know everything, because in the late teens, early 20s, like, I fucking know everything.
Oh,
right. I am big dick.
100%. Yeah.
But then once I'm like, you know, 25, 26, oh, shit.
My dad used to say, I wish I knew as much as you do.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
I wish I knew as much as you do.
That's
right.
Now, I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Don't know anything. And I'm just learning everything. I'm like a sponge. Just want to know everything.
Yes.
Yeah. Teach me it all,
for
right?
Sure. Yeah. Yep.
I like for this. Sure. But no, guys, let us know. If Chad can do anything for you guys, let him know. If there's anything I can do in this platform,
yeah,
like, let
sure.
me know.
We appreciate it.
Next time you guys come out with another sake, you guys are coming on. Bring Kirk, please.
Yeah,
because
Kirk's going to come out and debut
time.
Pocket sake.
Let's try to drop it in the fall so you can come out, huh?
Oh, yeah. I'm down.
Slow season for now.
Absolutely. So we have Sock-Can. It's coming
Sock-Can.
Out. But no, guys, thank you so much for coming and taking times out of your busy lives to come and hang out with us in the Hopkins. Chad, thank you for letting us use your facility. You're one of my favorite sponsors of all times. Thank you for what you do for local
for
everything
sure.
in Utah. You're bringing local distillers, local brewers, local product. You truly are someone that I look up to because of what you do. And you're adored by many people because of that. And thank you. Guys, please do not let your foot off the pedal because... You guys are just barely, not even scratching the surface. You guys are going to do some damage, a good kind of damage, right?
So,
guys,
oh, yeah.
Make the sake, make it in Utah. You guys Thank will you. Be the flexing ones, right? But on that, I'm going to say Kenpai, correct?
Kenpai.
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 Yeah.
Hold on one second. Oh, my God. Chaz being nice.
Cheers.
Kenpai.
Kenpai. Kenpai.
Kenpai.
Until the next sake, my friends.
This has been another episode of The Tastemasters. You can find us on Instagram at @the_Tastemasters, on Twitter at The Tastemasters, and on Facebook as The Tastemasters. Like, share, subscribe, leave us a review, tell your friends, and thanks for listening.
Produced and recorded at Fuse Audio. Give them a follow at @Fuse_Audio.